everybody. Welcome to episode 25. I know, we're just as amazed as you are. It feels more like 100. Episode 25 of Off Color Cast. We are a segmented podcast that likes to discuss the awesome, the serious, and the aggressive of EDH or Commander. Hey, this is Chris. What up? I play EDH, and I'm stupid. Let's say hello to Cassidy, because he's not as stupid as I am. Hey, Cassidy, what up?
Not too much is up. My wife is getting induced on Thursday night, so probably be a dad pretty soon again. I guess I'm already dead. You know how it is. And so I probably won't be available for next week's podcast. I don't know if they're going to get Sean Patchen or not. Sean actually brought the idea up to me. Like, he was like, hey, you're leaving soon, right? Can I go on the... You know, like, oh, what? Whoa. Sure, yeah. God damn. Oh.
I think we just might take a week off.
Yeah.
And then just bring Patchen into the fold.
I didn't realize this Sean Patchen sound like Hulk Hogan when he's on texting.
Because he doesn't sound like that when I have him in a very nasally voice when I read text from him that he sends to me.
Well, it's just like all my impressions end up sounding like that. So what do you want? What did I want to say today? Oh, yeah, check out the articles at tcgplayer.com. Going to have those going up every week forever. And then also, well, actually, I'll just do this thing at the end that I wanted to do. So that's all for now.
Cool. And let's say something to Calvin. See, I'm trying to appeal to his urban language. Sup, Calvin.
Sup. It's Calvin, also known as Captain Bridge from our internet. If you listen to episode 25, you have no real excuse to not know who we are. I mean, damn it, we've been around for a quarter now. Jesus Christ, 25 episodes.
Well, 25 episodes in 8 months isn't really anything to be proud of.
Yeah, but still, it might be 25 episodes in 8 months, but still, just the idea of, like, 25 episodes from a show that technically was only supposed to be temporary filler.
I think we just all don't realize we all want to quit. And that's what I've decided.
Yeah.
None of us wants to tell each other.
I mean,
it's like a bad we're just all in a bad relationship that none of us have the balls to say anything about.
Yep.
Yeah, like none of us have the nuts to pull the trigger. Oh, and I also wanted to say one good thing about to Christian real quick. Like, I actually kind of liked the little additional sound effect that you put in last week when I said the word.
That was Cassidy.
Yeah, that was me.
Anytime
you bust out with a racial epithet, Cassidy replaces that with the shitting sound.
I have a lot of sound effects on my computer, but those are the only ones that are short enough to work.
Do you just collect shitting sound effects on your computer?
No, it was when I was trying to make that video of the Cockatrice games and like make it animated, so I downloaded a bunch of sounds I thought might help, and that was going to be like the sound for like squishing a creature, maybe, you know?
So just like voice vowels.
No, like, uh-oh, he just got stomped on, squish.
actually, that sounds. That seems like it'd be the sound effect for like when someone's general comes out.
Yeah,
it's like you can just hear like the other like players just shit their pants.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a squish to me. It sounds like explosive diarrhea.
Oh well, I have it listed as a squish, so when I saved it onto my computer, it was titled squish.bile or whatever. So not my fault.
Oh, Calvin, I've also noticed you've been getting a little friendly with our co-explicit podcast group. Planeswalker Asylum over there. What the hell's that about?
Oh, yeah. Those guys are awesome. I, like, literally just started listening to their show, like, a couple of days ago. Because it's, like, one of the... I try to listen to as many different podcasts as I can. Mainly because I really have... At work, I have, like, 10-hour days. So I literally have almost, like, infinite time to sit back and listen to just about everything that goes up. And apparently, Limited Resources hasn't put anything up recently that I could think of at the moment.
They did an episode last week.
Yeah, the thing is, I was looking for it, and it was like the one episode that I couldn't seem to find.
Like, do you use the app Listen on your phone now?
No.
There's one on Android called Listen, and MTGCast is on there, so you can just update it, and it'll give you the directory for every episode that's on there.
Okay, so I'll just have to write that down, because, you know, me being who I am...
Gentlemen, please, come on in. Earlier on, I talked with Big Bubba and, of course, his partner, the Avalanche. You two went at it a little bit earlier.
I'm not talking!
The Macho Man in a kind of a different frame of mind. But Sting, you know what you got to do tonight. You're talking about men that collectively are nearly 1,000 pounds. Certainly you and Randy have got a game plan for this one.
Well, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. Look at my chest. If the camera could possibly get a close-up of that thing. That right there is from the Macho Man chopping each other on the last time we got to talk on some live TV. Talking about this match coming up, we're both nearly bloodied just talking to one another about this whole thing, and now the Macho Man has taken it to the next step. He's not even going to talk. Macho Man, are you sure you don't want to say anything?
I'm not talking.
See what I'm talking about?
He's out of his tree.
The Macho Man is out of his mind. He is ready. He's almost frothing at the mouth. He's afraid, probably, for what... I mean, Gene, he's afraid for what he might say on live TV. Macho Man.
I am not. No.
You know why? The Macho Man doesn't need to talk. The Stinger doesn't need to talk. But unfortunately, I'm the only one in this team that has the opportunity to. He doesn't want to, so I gotta do it. You're talking about law, order, and justice, Big Bubba. Law, order, and justice. No more. You're gonna be no more after this is over with, an avalanche. Yes, I have a plan. The Macho Man has a plan, and that is to put you out. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to drop you maybe on your head. The Scorpion Deathlock, does that get you pumped up? Do you want to say something now, Macho Man?
Not talking!
Thank you very much, Sting and the Macho Man, Randy
talk,
Savage.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to talk either, me, Gene.
All right, bam, end of intro. Okay, Calvin, why don't you... bring us into Luis's revised question here.
Ready? Okay, everybody. So, last week we did our listener email thing, and it was actually pretty awesome. But near the end, we actually happened to come across one question that was in the email from our boy Luis. And we were trying to figure out what he was actually trying to ask us, and we didn't want to answer the question wrong or just answer a question on X. So, I shot him an email. Basically saying, Luis, what the fuck? What's this question?
Oh, man, it'd be nicer to poor Luis.
And, Luis is awesome, but I was, basically trying to figure out, what did you mean by this one question? Everything else got answered. We just couldn't figure this one out, because we're a bunch of dumbasses.
Well, it's not our fault. Let's just be fair there. whole thing missing.
Yeah, but I'm saying, sent us back an email, and the email reads, whoops. Yeah, missed a whole word there while typing on my phone the other day. So, he sent us the actual question, and this one has so many damn words in it, it should be ashamed of itself. The question is, what is your favorite, are your favorite card, cards, to play in EDH, aside from your general commander's question, Mark?
Oh, okay, so he's just asking us what our favorite card's in Commander?
Oh, right? Yeah, pretty much.
Aside from our generals and our action commanders and legendary creatures, what are our favorite cards to play in EDH?
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, I was ready for the other variant where what's your favorite non-legendary commander? Creepo Doyen! Okay. Cassidy likes cards that make green shit.
Yeah, scavenging.
I like cards that Tom has the words attack.
Okay, so Calvin, give us your top three.
My top three favorite non-legendary creatures in Commander.
Well, it could be cards, man.
Not just favorite cards or cards. Period. So, top three favorite cards in Commander. Right now I'd have to say one of them would have to be. What is his name? Cyclops Gladiator? That's the one colorless 3-braid, 4/4 Gladiator that when it attacks, basically fights another creature.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that guy. That guy's amazing. Especially seeing as how I can pretty much knock out, utility creatures that opponents have without actually needing them to, block. Second favorite card that I have in Commander other than him, I'd have to say, and now it would have to be Doubling Season if I have a copy. Yay, me. Because, everybody knows I love tokens. I'm happy to give a nod to one of Chris's stupid cards from the previous week. that, what was it, Natural...
Thinking of Dual Nature?
Dual Nature or something? Yeah, the one that made token copies of everything else? Like, yeah, that thing's actually pretty fucking awesome. I've actually got a copy of it now, and I'm kind of ashamed of myself that I actually had to spend the whopping 50 cents to get it shipped to my house. I spend more on the shipping for the damn thing than the actual card itself. So in order to make myself feel better, I picked up another card to go with it. I picked up another copy of Inferno Titan.
Nice, for like $3 or something?
Inferno Titan, where I've got him from, I think he was like $1.52.
Oh, holy shit, that's so awesome. Okay. I mean, M12, sure, it was boring, and the Titans were lame to be reprinted, but holy shit, those guys are cheap as hell right now.
Yeah, like, what was it, like, I had, like, what was it, $8, and on the $8 order, I got an Inferno Titan, a Frost Titan, Hero of Oxic Rage, that blue card Patchy was talking about, Artificer's Intuition. Triss's Dual Natures, and something else that was white. I think it was like a sigil. The angel chair. You know, the one where every time you play an enchantment, you get like a 4/4 angel.
Oh, of the empty throne. Okay.
Yeah, the empty throne thing. Sure. That's what. And like the whole total up only cost me like $7. I was looking at, like, I remember there was a time when I would have opened this Titan and got, like, at least, like, 4 booster packs worth of cards for trading it away.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Now it's, like, not anymore. Not anymore. I mean, he's still, like, awesome. And I still don't understand why Frost Titan is nearly as good as people think. Like, it doesn't get nearly as much play as I think he should.
Consecrated Sphinx, probably.
Yeah, but I like that little, like, semi-hexproof thing it has.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hexproof. But it's kind of textbook because you have to pay the extra for it. But, you know, like, hold on a second. What the fuck are we talking about? Oh, yeah, cards. Whatever you like.
Yeah, he's named two so far.
So that's Gladiator, Doubling Season, and another card that I like that's not legendary. Mountain.
Sounds good.
Let's see. Third. I'll let you guys go because I got to think of the third one at the moment. I really have to actually think. There's like so many cards I actually do enjoy, but I got to figure out one that I would put above the rest.
Okay, Cassidy, I think you'll have this a bit better put together.
Yeah. It would be Nekrotu Warcry. There we go.
Ah, not surprising.
Not
surprised at all.
All right. Well, my favorite three cards, like, now that, like, I really would have had to spend a lot more time thinking about it, so I think what I'll do is I'll just name my three current favorite cards that I've been playing with, I guess. First is Cavern of Souls, which is, one of the new lands that makes it so you choose a creature type, and then that, creature type can't be countered when you use the land to cast it, you know, it gives any color for that creature type, and really it's just, like, it's fucking awesome in any EDH deck, especially against, like, any deck that counters. So I got one of those. I really like, what was I going to say? Oh, Yeva, the Force Mage, the new green creature from M13 that is kind of like Teferi, only fair, you know?
So you mean like a legendary creature?
Well, yeah, but she's not my general. Oh, I have to be a non-legendary creature? See, that's what happens when I don't know what's going on all the time. All right, well, then I'll just pick Vedalken Orreri, because that's the same card.
That's a pretty good card.
And I like to say Orreri over and over again. And then
I like to say, like, Orreri.
Orreri. What is the
other?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a tough one. I think Karmic Guide is going to be my pick right now, just because, like, I've been playing Carador a lot, and that card is just so goddamn busted.
Guide is just such a dick.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. There's a lot of other good cards that I could have named that I like playing with. You know, I didn't have a lot of time to think about it, but, so that's three, right? I just picked three, right?
Yeah, that's three.
Okay, well then, right, there
so
you go.
Before you go, Chris, let me pull up Conqueror so I can be able to type in the card name that you name out, because I know whatever the fuck you say, I'm not going to know what the hell it is.
Hey, man, I play normal cards just like the rest of y'all.
All right, come on, give it to us, Chris. What
okay.
is it that you like?
So, some of my favorite non-legendary cards, the first one's Furnace of Wrath.
Nice.
I actually know that.
Yeah, you actually know that card. Because doubling damage is awesome. Doubling damage will always be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There's just nothing we can do about that. Another one of my favorites is Chaos Moon.
Okay.
Which is, I'm just going to read this.
Okay.
Three and a red for an enchantment. This could also be a potential stupid card someday.
Yeah.
At the beginning of each upkeep, count the number of permanents. If the number is odd, until end of turn, red creatures get +1/+1, and whenever a player taps a mountain for mana, that player adds red to his or her mana pool, in addition to the mana the land produces. If the number is even, until end of turn, red creatures get -1/-1, and if a player taps a mountain for mana, the mountain produces colorless mana instead of any other type.
Really? That's like the worst card ever.
Hold on a second. I gotta read this shit again.
It's not bad.
Okay. It's not that bad, but still, just.
It's funny.
Couldn't play with any goblins, you know?
I play it for humor.
Yeah.
That's why I play a lot of cards. But, okay. And actually, I'm gonna go pretty easy with my last one because it's probably my favorite card in existence, and that's Mother of Runes.
Nice.
Because Urza Block was when I was really getting huge into Magic, and Mother of Runes is my favorite creature out of that set,
mm-hmm.
and she's pretty retarded.
Yeah, she's still awesome.
She gets the protection, right?
Like every time I see someone play Maverick, I'm like, oh yeah, Mother of Runes is coming out.
Yeah, Mother of Runes is 1 white, 1/1, tap to protect any creature from any color. Sort of.
It doesn't get really fun until there's 2 Mothers of Runes.
Yeah, too bad we can't do that in EDH without clones and stuff, but yeah. I know what you mean. Or I guess you could do it with, like, Soul Foundry, right? That'd be pretty sweet.
Or I would put Mother of Runes under the Mimic Vat.
Yeah.
Be like, what you gonna target? What are you gonna target with? What are you gonna do?
How do you like my 3 colorless stave off every turn? stave off. I think that can get artifacts too, can it? So maybe not even.
To be fair, I'm sure there's a bunch of other cards we all could have named. Like Fate Stitcher was really close to me because he throws gang signs. He untaps people that I like to untap, like Marique Re-Beret or whatever,
mm-hmm.
so that I can blow up something and then take something else.
Yeah, that's the hard thing, especially since we just kind of, like, decided now, but, like, I have at least, like, 4 or 5 decks that I play at least 3 times a week, you know what I mean? So there's, like, a lot of different cards that I see and a lot of cards that I'm like, ooh, awesome. Like, I was thinking about saying Geist Honored Monk because I did, with just him and his tokens yesterday, I did like 19 damage alone with him, so.
Yeah. Let's
and we know anybody that.
The card in mind was Stuffy Doll. I love Stuffy Doll. Stuffy Doll used to be like when it first got reprinted in, what was that, Time Spiral?
Well, that's when it was first printed. It wasn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The first time it was printed was Time Spiral, right?
Oh, my bad. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I got like, what was it, 4 copies of Stuffy Doll from Time Spiral. And my brother had them, and I went to a tournament, and the whole purpose of playing was playing, like, a red deck where all I did was play Stuffy Doll and, like, use, like, some type of comet. It was, like, some great spell that did, like, 13 damage to target creature.
Hmm.
Just so I could be able to, like, play Stuffy Doll and do that. Hmm. And then, like, ever since then, Stuffy Doll has been, like, Stuffy Doll is in every white deck I have because I can combine it with, Blink Effects. And that one card, Conspiracy?
What?
Is that what it is? It's a white enchantment. Whenever a creature gets dealt damage, it deals that much damage to itself.
Oh, you mean Pariah, where if you take damage, it goes to him, right?
No, it is an enchantment. I think it's called Conspiracy. Hold on a second.
It's not called Conspiracy.
No, that's that awesome black card that makes every.
Oh, yeah, it's the one that gives all the thing to tribal.
Yeah.
Is it Guilty Consciousness?
I don't know, man.
That sounds more like it.
Oh.
Yeah, that is it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, dude. I like that a lot.
Yeah, because like you could like does guilty consciousness like one white enchant creature?
Is that statue crapping that dude?
Yeah, it's taking a shit and he's shitting out like a white guy. But, like,
dude, that's fucked up.
But the enchantment is like whenever enchanted creature deals damage to a player, it deals that much damage to itself. Or guilty conscience deals that much damage to the enchanted creature. So basically, you like play Sturfy Doll, target a player, put guilty conscience on it, tap Sturfy Doll so it pings itself. Sturfy Doll then deals one damage to the creature that it's enchanted to, right? And then guilty conscience sees Sturfy Doll did the 1 point of damage and then smacks Sturfy Doll for one. But then Sturfy Doll sends another one over to that person because it got smacked. And it basically becomes like an infinite like burnout cycle.
Yeah, it's like a combo. I'm surprised that you are down with it. I don't think he's crapping out the white dude because you can see the legs back there, but I think he's about to fart in his face or teabag him or something.
Yeah, he's doing something.
Shit in his chest.
Yeah. You're dead.
I didn't know you were in a hard play.
Okay, that's good. Okay, Luis, thanks for sending in your revised question, and if anybody else ever has anything to say, or Luis, if you have anything else to say, feel free to email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com.
This is Robbie Marino, CZW, with Zandig. Oh my god, what the fuck just happened?
What do you mean, what happened? What, are you blind? Jesus! There was five of them! It took five of them! Justice Payne! Oh, Hate Club! Oh, the Hate Club's dead! Nick Gage! Nate Hatred! Who do you think you are? Nobody does this to Zandig! Nobody does this to the White Beater! Zandig, White Beater, Nick Mondo! We are the most ultraviolet force on the face of the earth! Oh my! Oh! Yo, you're gonna die! You are gonna die! I guarantee it! I am gonna kill you! So, you people have not seen anything! This is just the start of Fake UTV! I am the ultraviolet icon! This is Robbie Marino! This is CZW, the most violent federation on the face of the earth! You just wait and see how far we're gonna go! I'm out of here!
What are we talking about next again?
Nice. No, it's another Calvin segment.
Oh.
Time to go to sleep.
The Deadly Sin of Greed.
Oh, okay.
I feel like we've done Greed.
Did we? I don't know.
Greed was one of the ones where Cassidy came up with Cassidy came up with Greed, but we never actually did Greed.
Okay.
That is one of the ones I was going to do at the last one, then I realized we missed one, and we had to do two more, and I couldn't think of the seventh one, and I got pissed and stopped wanting to do it.
Hmm.
And eventually I came up with the seventh one, so.
So greed us up here, boy.
Oh, we're doing four things, aren't we? I just realized. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we can skip greed if you want.
No, it's cool.
Really short show.
I thought we were just vowing to do that last time, so I was like, trying to add it up all in my head, like, what?
But the thing is, like, if you want to skip it, we can skip it and do it next time.
I don't give a shit.
Like,
I just
still have, like, we still got the commander set thing that we want to talk about, and I kind of want
And then we can get really in depth on the wrestling part.
Yeah. That's true. We can just do that. That's fine.
Yeah, we're skipping it. Okay.
My math was just off, so I'm, like, trying to figure out what the fuck is going on.
I didn't think the Louis segment would run as long as it did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it like turns out that he's, like, asking us, like, deep personal-ass questions about you.
He wants to know about our spirit and our inner soul.
Our inner butthole.
We're in a butthole.
Okay, I'll do this one, then. Let me pull up the thing. Wizard, what's it called? The Commander's Arsenal?
Yeah. Arsenal. Have they spoiled anything else besides, like, Azusa, maybe a Plasma, and Sylvan Library?
No. Oh. And the Azusa, well, I assume that the oversized cards will have a matching undersized one in the other real cards, I'm going to guess. So we're probably going to get a normal-sized foil Azusa.
which seems fucking pointless, right? Well, I guess we'll get to that, because this thing is pretty kind of disappointing, so.
Okay, gang, so you've heard it everywhere already. So you're going to be hearing it from us last, because it's the 14th right now. This is probably spoiled on the 10th, and you won't be hearing it till about the 21st. But since we do talk about EDH, we probably should talk about it. And this is the Commander product we're going to get from Wizards this year, the Commander's Arsenal. Before you guys start throwing your barbs, I'm just going to do a quick rundown of it. Comes out November 2nd, 2012, for $74.99. For this price, you will get 18 premium foil cards, 10 oversized premium foil cards, 120 Ultra Pro foil card sleeves, 20 double-sided battle marks, plus and minus, a life counter that goes up to 99. Instead of, I don't know, higher than 99. and the cards that they've shown us so far is a foiled Sylvan Library, and then the oversized foil Azusa, which we're assuming then has a normal-sized foil Azusa in there somewhere. But I think that's all I got for right now, so I'll let you guys say your pieces. Feel free to fight amongst yourselves on who gets to talk first.
Yeah, guys.
All right. Okay, I'll start. Okay, so my first reaction to it was that I thought it was pretty cool because Magic supporting Commander, whether people like it or not, or what they really think about it, it at least is interesting that they're embracing it as much. And for someone who has to write about it a lot, I'm glad that they offer me something to write about. But at the same time, that $75 seems so steep. And when you're trying to add up what cards could be in this thing, first off, there's 18 premium foil cards, so that's just three cards more than From the Vault's Realms. Just From the Vault, rather, because those are usually 15. The 10 oversized premium foil cards don't mean anything to anyone. So, that shouldn't factor into anyone's prices, because they were fun in the original Commander set. But, I play a lot of Commander pre-con as my generals, and I don't bring those giant fucking things around. There's nowhere to put them. They're pointless, you know.
What about when they took your general and you put that in there? You're like, sorry, guys, this is the only copy I brought.
Yeah, I did that originally when it was first funny, but I mean, it's been out for over a year. That joke is not funny anymore, but it's joking fun. The one thing though is it just me, or is in this picture, are those sleeves for giant cards?
Nah,
no?
They're normal.
Then why? No. What's with the perspective on that? That's bizarre as hell. Okay. Maybe my eyes are just terrible. So my main thing is I guess it's kind of with the vaults, they always end up being about $80. So maybe that's what they're going for. They're just making it so that stores don't have to gouge or anything. But I mean, it's very possible that this thing will stink, and it might even have to be where retailers have to lower the price. So it's kind of the opposite of what the fuck happens normally with From the Vaults and all that stuff. My main concern though is that I just can't imagine that there's going to be enough value in those 18 premium foil cards to make it worth this much money. I mean, they would have to put some pretty money cards in there, and most of the good money cards that are worth putting in the set are on the reserve list, right? So, I mean, you can't have a guy's cradle in here making the whole thing worth buying. The best you can have is a Tarmogoyf, and if they think that putting a Tarmogoyf in there is gonna make it worth $75 to fucking Commander players, you have something else going. I have a lot else to say about this, and we can talk about it for a while, but I'm gonna pass the mic, as it will, over to Calvin, so he can say what he has to say about the subject.
Okay. One thing I have to ask real quick. Why do we have to... There's something in this box. The 20 double-sided battle markers. the little red circles with, a silver side as a plus, and in the back of it, I'm guessing, is, a red side with a minus.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is that for?
Planeswalkers, maybe? Because they're pluses and minuses in Modo, right?
Or you can just use them as counters.
But, yeah, it's stupid. Yeah. I mean, the what were those boxes? The Elder Dragon boxes? I don't know if you got those ones at all, guys, but I won one from a Commander tournament, and they came with a bunch of little tokens like that, too. And, like, more than anything, they're just annoying to have. It's like, you almost want to throw them away, but you, like, that's kind of like, you know, it's like,
wasting
it's kind
your
of,
money.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste of money, but at the same time, you have these freaking tokens everywhere that are just, like, getting in the way, and you're just like, oh, I'm never going to use you. I should throw you away, but I can't. Yeah. Just not give me these stupid things in your product, guys. So
I'd probably use them, because I sometimes still use the glass beads.
Yeah, but glass beads are classic. That's, like, old-school RPGs. Nothing classic about, like fucking battery symbols for your card.
Yeah, because for some reason when I first saw those things, I started thinking to myself, is there a card in Magic that allows you to put battle counters on some shit? Because I couldn't think of anything, and I've searched it, and I didn't see anything that said battle counters.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like,
nah, I didn't know that.
But still, whatever the case may be. So the overall product in and of itself, in my personal view, okay, we get a life counter that goes up to 99, which is okay, but personally I use a phone to keep track of my life points.
It looks like you beat the crap out of somebody with it, though.
Yeah, maybe.
It's speedy.
Yeah, that does look kind of heavy. But then, like the one in the actual picture, with, like, the box looks like it might be made out of something good, but then, like, the one on the bottom is, like, made out of, like, plastic, straight out plastic. And I saw that, like, why is the bottom one gold and the top one black? Is it different, like, life counters for each box? Not right.
Well, you can't even roll this shit either. That's, like, my thing. Like, at least, even though the spin downs are, like, the worst D20s ever created, least you can use them as D20s if necessary. But this thing is just, like, it's kind of like those counters. It's just, like, something you're going to put away and wish that you didn't have to pay for at all. But you bought it, so you're going to keep it forever.
Let's see, what else on here? There's the 120 Ultra Gross sleeves that are foiled, which are okay, I guess, but still, like, if I wanted sleeves, I'd buy my own. I don't think I'd have to buy a product to get sleeves. I mean, those could have easily been replaced with something else. Like, you know, maybe round that card number out to 20 instead of giving me 20 to 120 sleeves. Especially seeing as how there's not 120 products in this thing for me to put that 120 sleeves over.
Yeah, I guess they should give you a card for every sleeve they put in there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, why give me the sleeves?
Well, it's like, do you guys get, like, the deck box? Have you guys ever gotten, like, the deck builder's toolkit or anything like that? This is essentially what this is, except without all the commons and uncommons in it.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, I look at this, right? Okay, how can I understand if they gave you 120 Ultra Foe sleeves with your Commander deck? Like, the summer product that came out last year with the Commander stuff? If they gave you, like, if those things came with 100 cards and 120 sleeves in the box, that I can understand, because you know what? You'd have a perfectly good reason to use it. But if you buy this, you have 120 sleeves, and you only have 18 cards that fit in those sleeves. I mean, granted, and those 18 cards might not even fill out the whole fucking deck of, like, for what you're going to do, because chances are they're going to be multiple colors. So unless you're playing five colors or some shit, chances are they're not going to be worth putting in the same damn deck. Mm-hmm. And now I've got, like, an extra 120 sleeves, where technically if I wanted to buy sleeves, I could have just bought sleeves separately. You could have kept these sleeves out of my package and just gave me, you know, something to finish off that foiled card thing to 20. I'm not really trying to say that it's a bad thing. I personally don't really give a damn, but it just seems kind of like, it seems like it's going to make the product look bigger than it really needs to be.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, actually, now that you're bringing up the sleeves like that, you know, that the Elder Dragon box that they came out with, that came with sleeves too that were foiled kind of like this. So, like, I'm thinking more and more that maybe they're just trying to emulate that product, you know, a little bit with this. But the thing that was cool about the Elder Dragon box is that you can put your fucking cards in something and carry them around, 100-card decks. I mean, this, they're not even offering a sweet-ass box. If they had a sweet-ass box going with it, that might be pretty sweet, you know what I mean? But, there's just a lot of stuff to put in a box. I mean, are they going to release a separate box for it? Commander's Arsenal box. MSRP, $25.
Speaking of boxes, there's a dude on, I forget the blog post, but there was a guy who gave you directions on how to make how to turn a booster box into a pretty pimp-looking EDH box.
Yeah, who was that? Was that? No, shit. I saw that, though. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the Fat Pack box?
No, the like an actual booster box. You take it and you turn it inside out, and you can make a pretty good EDH box out of it.
Hmm.
Which is good because booster boxes are good for nothing.
Yeah. No, they aren't good for holding anything either because they're all, like, pop-up and shitty.
Yeah. But this dude was taking them and was making pretty sweet EDH deck boxes with them.
Huh.
Which is pretty baller.
I'm going to have to look that up. But back to this real quick. All right, now with the 10 oversized Void Premium cards, I have no gripes about those either or. I mean, there's people out there that are into that thing, there's people that aren't. I personally do like oversized cards, but I prefer them to be like the Flame Chase, Archenemy, Vanguard things where they have effects on the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these, like, you know, granted they're cool, they do look nice, but if, I don't know. It seems to me like an oversized card should be for a big creature. I could see a Mimeoplasm. Because, like, I could see Mimeoplasm being, like, an oversized card. Gruhan, oversized card. Most of the other commanders, I could see those, like, the ones that came from that previous summer thing. But, yeah, those were all, like, mostly, like, 5 attacking up and stuff like that. You know, they were all pretty big-sized creatures. I don't really see how a 1-2 would be at the same size, physically. Because it just doesn't really, like, you know, play out for me. But, you know, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And Azusa just seems really off point, too, because, like, no one's excited to see a giant Azusa. Like, no one's excited to see a regular Azusa, unless you're playing her, you know what I mean? So it's like, it just seems really weird. And unless they end up, like, like offering new cards, which they usually do in Commander products, like, that seems like what they should have done to me. Like, it doesn't, like, it seems like they were going to put new cards in there, they'd be like, new cards, right? But no, it's just 18 premium foil cards, because foil is bolded. Like, we don't, like, we aren't experienced what the foil is. Like, oh, foil. Never had a foil card.
I mean, the general EDH populace, like, jizzes themselves over foil cards all the time, so.
Yeah, I guess
I can understand why they bold that.
Yeah. buy me.
That actually kind of leads into my next point. The actual, like, 18 premium foiled cards here. These are the actual cards in this actual set that make me a little disappointed. Mainly because, let's put it like this. Like, granted, yes, the library, sweet card, that's amazing. Sure, the Azusa, that's cool to have. And I know that we already know the Mimeoplasm is going to be in there. But out of the 18 cards.
Wait, why do I know that? I missed that.
Mimeoplasm was spoiled over on, what is it, commander.net, mtgcommander.net?
Yeah, the EDH Rules Committee has, like, a thing up.
It's a foil of Mimeoplasm,
yeah.
Yeah, and theirs has the same thing, but just has the art instead of the library shows Mimeoplasm. So granted, yeah, the cool thing is for the people out there that want a foiled copy of Mimeoplasm, that's fine. But then I started thinking about it. Like, if this is 18 cards, right, and they have a foiled copy of Mimeoplasm in here, the first thing that came to my mind was those same commanders from the previous year that we all have small copies of, but no foils. And I started thinking, like, if this pack is literally 18 copies of those previous summer commanders all foiled out with, like, 3 extra, like, money cards, I'd be so fucking pissed to spend $75.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you'll realize beforehand just to not do it.
Yeah, but the simple idea that they would even come up with the idea, remember those cards that we gave you in mass last year that everybody liked so much and complained because they weren't in foil? We just foiled copies of all of them. As opposed to us putting them into, like I said, they might belong in, or as opposed to us just, you know, maybe printing them out in some other different way for you. No, here's foiled copies of all of them for basically the price of 2 of those boxes plus. It just seems kind of like, you know, it just would seem like, for the $75 mark that they're asking me for this, for the particular product, with the front of the box, I fully understand, because all of those are usually, like, cards that everybody knows and everybody loves and they're banned or restricted or they're on some type of theme that people just are, like, you know, shit themselves over. But with this, I honestly feel that the cards that's going to be inside the 18 packs may not actually live up to the $75 price tag that they're asking me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that it's going to be a big stinker when it comes to that. Like, kind of mentioned it a little bit before. My brother was talking about it, too, when I was talking to him about it earlier, and he was saying that they're going to have to, drop the price of it. We were actually talking to the owner of our local game store because we were playing an EDH tournament this last Saturday, and we were talking to him, and we were like, what's up with that? I mean, do you think that shit's going to sell at all? And he's like, well, no, because we're going to have to lower the prices to even move it because no one's going to spend that kind of money on it, you know? So, I'm just wondering how that'll even work because you know what Wizards of the Coast is going to charge $75 for it either way. So these, like, any store owners who buy it and don't have, like, some, like, rich kids who parents are willing to spend a lot of money on nothing, you know what I mean? Like, no adult's going to buy that who can avoid buying it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm, like, I know the internet's mad about it, but there's a lot of non-internet, there's a lot of people out there that'll probably buy it. Even some of those people I just mentioned are actually really hype about it for some reason. I don't know. So we can figure that there's going to be at least 10 legendary cards in there. Because we have 10 oversized.
Well, that's the first thing I'm going to give you an oversized Sylvan library.
Yeah, I'm going to doubt that. And I bet, I don't know, if maybe they'll put Doubling Season in there, which I think would be the funniest shit on earth because Calvin has one now.
I'd be so fucking pissed if Doubling Season was inside a $75.
Well, yeah, but even if it did have Doubling Season and Sylvan Library, so let's assume Sylvan Library will go for like $10 maybe. So that's like a $35 price tag because the sleeves, that stupid shit dice thing, and the big set cards, they aren't worth anything. No one's going to pay anything for those. So like we're basically...
Yeah, but I mean, they have a value for existing. What do you want to say?
We'll give the oversized cards $2 each.
What?
I mean, I don't know, like...
I'm assuming that they would at least sell for like $1, maybe $2 on Star City, right?
Looking at this on, like, trying to get $75 worth of shit out of this thing, I think is the wrong way to do it.
Well...
Because, I mean, none of us are buying it.
Well... We can't assume that. I mean,
brass tacks. None of us are buying it.
I might split the one thing we could do. I might do if cards end up being right is splitting it with like family members, kind of like you would split like a real box of boosters. Like that's the only way I could ever see buying it because yeah, it's definitely way too expensive. But
yeah.
that's the point though. I mean, if it's at least like the cards inside are worth $75. Then it might be worth splitting a box of it, or you know what I mean. But if the cards inside only net you like $30 in trade when it's all said and done, plus what nebulous amount of large cards that no one that people might trade you for, but you don't have a binder to stick them in, so you're not bringing them around to trade anyways, you know. Like if it doesn't net it, then it's just not. No one's going to buy it at all, you know.
I don't think the From the Vaults never ended up making the $80. I don't think either, did they?
Yeah, well, because the Exile one had a bunch of really expensive good cards, the Jit and stuff like that, and the other one had like Top and all sorts of old stuff. Like the Legends box didn't, but that's because they also chose poorly and none of the cards were worth anything. So
Relics didn't, I don't think either.
Really?
Relics was kind of Relics just. But then, like, the price tag was never going to, like, they would still, like, you know, they'd charge way too much for them anyway, though.
Just
limited print. And I mean, they're probably going to keep the same kind of print size for this, I imagine, as a From the Vaults.
Oh, you mean, like, the, just the thickness of the card, kind of?
No, I mean, just, like, they're not going to put a lot out. I don't think they're going to print, like, a lot of these.
Oh, I see. Yeah, like the run? Okay.
I don't think the run's going to be very big. So I don't think, they're just experimenting to see what will happen, I don't think it's going to, like, kill them if, like, nobody buys it.
Yeah.
But one of the things I would have to let's think of it like this, right? When it comes down to this particular product, the last time Wizards really pushed for a product that was specifically for Commander, other than the summer product, and it involved four cards, was the Thunderbolt Legends, right?
I don't like to think of that as specifically for EDH. I just think they were running out of ideas for From the Vaults.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the one that seemed like it was more for Commander was the From the Vault Legends. It had 15 legendary creatures, and everybody thought it was going to be awesome when they first previewed it, and they saw Xperia on the cover, and thought, this is going to be great. And then when the actual product showed up, and people thought about it and looked at what was available, they just kind of, like, said, fuck this. And as far as I know, nobody I know bought any of those.
My brother did. That's the only person I know is my brother.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, as far as I know, like, I know Commander players, and none of us bought any of them. And the ones that did buy any of the cards from, bought the singles. And when it comes to the action from the vaults, like, a lot of people that I know that are Commander players buy those, mainly because of the fact that these are reprints of cards that chances are they might not get a chance to see again. I bought from the Vault Exile, and I bought, what was the other one? From the Vault...
Dragons?
No, not Dragons. It was the other one. The one where they had the, what was the one that was Exiled?
The Relics?
That's the ones that did in Relics, right? The one with your arm that was all artifacts.
Mm.
So, like, you know, I personally waited for these things to come out because, you know what? They had cards in them that I could use in Commander or wanted to use for other formats. And this was going to be the one good chance I knew I could get them. And me and my brother have bought, like, two or three actual, like, from the vaults each. But when the Commander one came out, we saw the Legendary Creature ones that was in there. No. Because the only thing we wanted out of it was the blue horsemanship one.
Sun Quan. Yep.
And the rest of them we either already had or didn't want.
All right, and how about that new Kiki Jiki art? And you're just like, ugh.
Right. And the thing is, I personally have from the bought cards, and I know that when the foiling process for those are done, they work. They bend. Those things bend over really, really often. Mm-hmm. I've actually had to, like, take them out the packets and sit books on top of them just to try to flatten them out after a day or two so I could put them back into my damn deck.
Yeah, it's humid as fuck. In the Northeast.
And okay. The thing is, I look at this product and I think, okay, I'm about to spend $75, which is...
Well, you're not.
Well,
there's nothing to get indignant about, because we're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing. I look at this product and Wizards expects me to spend $75 for a product specifically
for... Well, they don't expect you to spend it.
Chris,
you should.
I haven't gotten one of those in a while.
So Wizards is expecting the community to purchase a $75 thing for a casual format, right? And it's supposed to be for the casual format. This is not like the From the Vaults thing where you're like, you know, it's not really for Commander, but it's kind of got the wink. Like, no, this actually has the fucking name on the box, so you can't tell me this isn't for Commander. And they're expecting casual players to spend $75 for 18 cards. Now, granted, there's probably going to be some good cards in there that some people are going to pick up because, you know what, hey, maybe somebody wants that library. Maybe somebody wants the oversized Azusa. I know there's people out there that's going to want the foiled Mimeoplasm, but in my mind, it just seems like this could have just been drop the sleeves, drop the little battle counters, drop the oversized cards, do it as 18 cards, and just put it out as another from the vaults.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean... If they did it that way, the people would still be paying $80 for it anyway.
But the thing is, then the $80 price tag would be more of the store bump this up as opposed to this is where we're setting it.
Mm-hmm.
See, now, like, if the store buys it at $50 and they try to sell it to me for $80, I can understand because you know what? It's a limited item. They're trying to make extra money off of it, and it's supposed to be something to increase activity at the store. It's not something you can pick up at Walgreens or Walmart where some other random place. No, it's supposed to be for the local brick and mortar. You give this thing to local brick and mortar and it's starting out at $70. And the thing about it is, it's going to be coming out after the new Ravnica set comes out. So let me get this straight. If I happen to have that kind of money to spend the money on this thing, what do you think I'm going to do? Spend it on 18 cards from a commander box or put another 20 to it and buy myself a box of Ravnica? Where I have the chance of getting planeswalkers, more than 18 foil cards, and probably enough stuff to actually build a fucking deck.
Sometimes you can even get boxes of new sets, like when they come out right around that amount. So,
yeah, well, it's usually like 85 or 89.
Yeah, but either way,
sometimes my friends will buy a case, and then we'll each just get a box out of it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the thing is, if you're going to put the kind of money in to buy this thing, I'm pretty sure you'd be like, you'd be better off just kicking in an extra $10 and then get the whole fucking box of Return to Ravnica.
Mm-hmm.
Or hold on to it and pick up Gatecrash. And then when this limited thing runs out or somebody decides to buy it and realizes there's nothing in it they want, then they'll sell it to you on eBay for whatever price, and then you still wouldn't have to spend $75 for the cards that you were looking for in the first place when you bought them.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't, it's, you know, people I mean, will buy it. Kind of, if they put Foil Command Tower in there, people will buy it.
Probably. Foil Command Tower was in there.
Hey, man, that might be in Realms still. We haven't seen that whole set yet.
That's true.
Four Command Towers in this thing.
I can, yeah.
If you look at the Little Wizards archive thing and then scroll down to the bottom, they have a picture of another card. Not like an actual card itself, but like an image of a card.
Oh,
of the artwork. And if you look at the artwork, what is
it? It's a tower with five colors coming out of it.
It's a tower with five colors coming out of it in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. That went right over my head. I'm not even going to lie. I've seen it like six times. I'm just like, oh, cool picture. Dooper, dooper, doop.
Actually, I like that better than the regular Command Tower art.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the artwork for this is cool, but if that's the case, out of the 18 cards, if this ends up being a foiled Command Tower, we have foiled Command Tower, Azusa,
foil Chaos
Library.
Foil Join Forces card.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Yeah,
foil Avatar Slaughter.
That'd be sweet.
That would be awesome. So I personally
actually
would have
like
to think about it,
but you know, there's the people out there that won't build a deck until they have the foil versions of it, or like some of these cards can be running cube too, so they'll get bought, or someone's gonna buy them and split them up and sell the, you know, or you know they'll buy them cheap and then split the cards and sell them as singles. But these cards will move for some reason. But,
they will, but I mean.
I mean, some people will enjoy it. It ain't for any of us, but there'll be people that like it.
Before we ended, too, I wanted to actually bring up what I've heard other people say about it, because, I mean, I just posted it on my Facebook, and to you, Doug, yeah, he's like, you like this thing? I'm like, yeah, I like anything that I can talk about on the show or write about. I mean,
he's been channeling the net nerd lately.
Yeah.
Did you, one of the Commander Cast Home Editions, and I love reading those, and I get to, one of the guys is, like, talking about, like, products, and one dude's like, yes, the players should be able to should be more involved in design, and this other guy's like, I do not want net nerds designing cards.
No, I did read Brianne's article about it, though. She just posted it, I think, today.
I saw a lot of words, and I'm like, man, I don't care about any of this.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't really say much about it, but...
But, yeah.
Yeah. Just that's another place for another opinion, and it's a girl in Magic, which, like, a lot of times I'm still completely surprised it even exists. So, I mean, there is that.
She's more of a bro than anything, I think.
Yeah, she's cool.
And her name's Manrique.
Manrique.
Damn it. Sorry, Manriquez.
No, she's not listening.
So, I'm sure you guys have opinions, because everyone on the internet does. So if you're listening to the show, and you have one you want to share with us, email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, I want to hear these emails. I want to see you tell me that I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, listeners, and explain to me why.
Well, you can't explain a negative.
Huh?
Well, prove. You can't prove a negative.
I didn't say prove, I just explain.
I think you're trying
to. Why.
You're trying to start fights, man. Why you gotta start fights?
No, I'm not trying to start fights. I'm honestly trying to see this thing in a positive light. And the more I look at it, the more it frustrates me. And I keep trying to think to myself, like, no, it shouldn't be this bad.
Well,
like, I remember there was that one time when they had the Arcana, and they ended up doing, like, they showed, like, a set, and they showed the symbol, and the symbol was, like, in gold. And someone complained because they thought that the symbol, like, there was, like, no Mythic Rares in that set because the symbol was gold. Because ever since they started doing Mythic Rares, every time they saw a set or something like that, they always did, like, orange or some shit. And then, like, the editor was like, oh, they noticed it. They was like, oh, sorry, my bad. We back and fixed it. And I see that, and I remember it, and I think about this. I'm like, maybe that $75 price tag isn't what it's supposed to be. Maybe it was supposed to be $50, and someone typed the wrong number or something.
No,
and no one just happened to catch on yet. But it hasn't changed yet, and, you know.
No.
I think EDH in general, the way I like to approach it, Wizards has a very secondary role in it.
Yeah.
Where it's more of a community-built game, where whatever Wizards does, we take what we want, and we don't take what we don't want from them.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people speculate that, like, Wizards designed this or this for EDH, and that might be a little bit true, but, I mean, Time Stretch came out before anyone was playing EDH, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, you know, that kind of stuff has always been there. They've always had cards like Praetor's Council, even if it's better than old cards. They're still being stupid powerful cards, you know, so I don't know.
That's actually an Audacity segment.
I wanted to do it last week, but
the Audacity. Oh, we'll bring it. That's actually a good topic. So yeah. I figured we could do it when we're like awake.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cassidy, do you wanna read like Jason's email, or at least the parts that where he asks us about it?
Yeah.
Since this is the segment you should be leading in.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's about wrestling.
Wrestling section.
Sure. Let me do this real quick and pulling up the email because. Since I have Gmail, it's, like, annoying to have two Gmail accounts to check out.
Yeah, well, I just have five browsers.
I just have a small-ass computer screen, too, so it's, like...
That's right.
I'm trying to consume.
Yeah, I've got two monitors going now.
I've actually linked the Off-Color thing to my regular Gmail, so now I just hit my name and it switches over from one to the other.
I know what I wanted to mention. Have you guys played the new Mortal Kombat at all?
MK9?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god, that game is so fucking awesome. I can't even believe it.
Okay, so when we're saying new Mortal Kombat, you mean the one where they took the numbers off and just kind of restarted the system?
Yeah, but we call it Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah, and it's... Oh, dude. Like, I'm kind of like... I normally don't really care about new video games at all. Like, I'll get the WWE games, but it's only because I, like, want to see what they add to it. And, like, I don't even play WWE 12 that much anymore. But this game is just like, holy shit. Play this constantly, and Scorpion can throw his spear in the middle of, like, a punch combo.
Yeah, the only thing, like, it's hard... The blocking... The delay on blocking makes it hard to block overheads if you're trying to block low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have noticed that.
Yeah. Online, it's a wreck. I can tell you that.
Oh, okay.
But otherwise, it's not bad. It's just... I wish there was a bit of a penalty for mashing on Combo Breaker, but once they have two bars, there's really no reason for him not to do it.
Yeah. If you start hitting. Well, I mean...
Also, stop doing X-ray attacks.
You don't like the X-ray attacks? They're so cool.
They're usually not worth the meter.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, Noob Saibot kicks you in the stomach so hard that you vomit on his legs every time. Like, yes! I hope he washes those pants, but Noob, you are awesome. And then
Jax's X-ray because your liver cracks.
Oh, I don't think I've seen... I haven't played against Jax or as Jax yet. Scorpion has this finisher where he stabs you in the throat with his chain, wraps around your neck, and then throws you through a portal. And then you come out through a portal up above, and you're all, like, burned alive.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're hanging. Yeah. That shit was awesome.
Yeah, the story mode's actually pretty good in that game, too. As far as single-player fighter goes, it's really good.
Cool. I'll have to check it out. Yeah, I mean, it's just over at my brother's house, so we play it before we play D&D, but... Holy balls, I haven't cared about a video game in a really long time. Because I play a lot of Deception on the GameCube still. Like, I still rock at that game, but holy balls. So who's the email that sent us? I'm sorry.
Jason Poupard.
Poupard?
I'm going to guess that's not how you pronounce his name.
You know, they say all men are created equal. But you look at me and you look at Small Joe, and you can see that statement is not true. See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak, and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% at best at beating me. And then you add Kurt Angle to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. See, the three-way at Sacrifice, you got a 33 1/3 chance of winning. But I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me, and he's not even going to try. So, Samoa Joe, you take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one and then add 66 2/3%, I got 141 2/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. See, Joe, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at Sacrifice. See, but I'm going to break it down for all you ladies. Would you rather be with me, or would you rather be with Joe?
Well, I think Joe's kind of nice. I mean, you know.
See, you're one of those girls that like romance. I'm going to talk to all my freaks out there. Would you rather come home to me, a genetic freak, to be satisfied every night, or go home to that fat-ass small Joe.
Today we are going to continue kind of on the email thing. We did it already a little earlier. And we're going to talk about this email that we got from Mr. Jason. Well, I'm not going to say his last name because it's making me giggle just reading it. Sorry. anyways, Jason
Poupard.
Yeah, Poupard.
Jason Poupard.
Poupard, yeah.
You know it's not. It's probably like Poupaw.
And he, well,
Jason, an awesome guy. That's what his name is.
Jason, yeah, we'll go with Poupaw. I like that. We'll go with that just so that I don't have to laugh every time I read it. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. I had the name Cassidy my whole life, so I get to make fun of other people's names. All right. Okay, so.
Fuck that.
So last week we talked about how Jason had sent us an email about which wrestlers we feel like we are or how we play as. And we all liked it a lot because we're all wrestling fans. So we decided that we'd rather spend more time talking about it than just, you know, answering it cursorily. So I'm going to just go ahead and read this email here. Good day, gentlemen, comma. My name is Jason Poupa, and I lack a handle at this time. So take that for what it's worth. I've just finished listening to episode 19 and felt compelled to finally send a message thanking you for your fine work. If you do notice, this was sent back on July 8th to us. Yeah, he probably has burned out through the rest of the episodes. He probably doesn't even give a shit anymore. Anyways, he felt compelled to finally send us a message thanking us for our fine work, so he must be trying to send it to some other people's show. Thank you for all 19 episodes of Commander Commentary and all of the casts you record in the future. I've listened to them all. Thank you. Or you're welcome. Yes, you're welcome. Perhaps it was the pro wrestling reference which made this mark pop. Yeah. I would do the same thing. More on wrestling later, though. Okay, let me read this part. Maybe it's not important.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
So, commenting on Joe's Edric deck. Okay, so that was episode 19. Yeah, Joe was cool. Anyways, it was a great episode. Keep up the awesomeness. So, yeah, he's saying thank you to you as well, Joe, if you're listening. So, let me read this next part. This is about...
Here's where we return to pro wrestling for the first time.
Oh, here we go. Okay, so here's where we return to pro wrestling. Thank you, Christian. You've actually read this email. In other sports, like the UFC or a Magic Grand Prix, competitors are legitimately competing for a prize. And can we just stop spelling it PRIX, please, people, because that's just too funny. Now, in pro wrestling and casual Commander, the goal is for all involved to have fun, sure. The process of choosing matches for a wrestling show, whether in a high school gym or in Madison Square Garden, booking, in quotation marks, is all about one thing, providing the most entertaining matches possible. When sitting down for a game of EDH, especially with new players, I book matches in order to provide entertainment for all. And then should I... Okay, we'll read this part, because I fucking hate Goldberg, too, so I...
He's like the biggest Jew. He's got to be, like, Patchen's favorite guy.
Yeah, I don't think Pat... I think Patchen's, like, ballroom dancing way above us, our level.
Get on our level, Patchen.
He probably has, like, his favorite Jewish ballroom dancer that he likes, like, salsa. Salsa, I don't know. I don't have a good joke there, so whatever. Anyways, one of my least favorite wrestlers ever was Goldberg. I'm right there with you. We spent a few years in WCW in the 90s squashing guys half his size and minutes. Oh, you know what? I think he sent me an email, too, at my email address, come to think of it, because this part I do remember. Anyways, though Goldberg was physically impressive, those squash matches week after week bored me. Playing an optimized deck against a rookie is like booking Goldberg in a match with a luchador, and not even a good one either. Ric Flair, however...
Had wrestling matches.
Sorry, I got distracted. Ric Flair, however, had wrestling matches of a different caliber. When he lose, Flair's matches were booked to look competitive, and Flair himself always took a beating. So, who do you guys want to play EDH matches like? Goldberg, Flair, or someone else? And this is basically the coming off point, right? This is what we want to talk about. Ric Flair and Goldberg actually sets the bar pretty well for, like, how he wants us to judge this. Ric Flair is the kind of guy that's been famous from just, like, knowing about wrestling and how to, like, work a crowd. And then Goldberg was the opposite. He got famous because he was a big motherfucker. And they didn't even let him talk, you know? I mean, for those who don't know about, like, how theatric Goldberg was, he, like, didn't lose at all in WCW. And WCW was filled with a lot of big dudes. and they would follow him to the ring with, like, security. And did he breathe fire or smoke or something? Like,
nah.
I thought there was just, like, a bunch of smoke that would come out the stage when he came out. Goldberg pretty much went completely defeated until he, eventually faced Hogan.
Yeah.
And then that's when he got, like, his first actual, like, in-ring loss. Because, let's be honest, everybody loses to Hogan sometimes.
Yeah, and you can tell that was a great match if this fucking old dude, Hulk Hogan, beats the guy that's unbeatable, you know? So, I didn't see the match, but I'm sure it was bullshit, like most good wrestling matches are, right? So that's Goldberg. I think when we're thinking of Goldberg decks, like, my first thought is Xur the Enchanter, somebody that just doesn't have to try to win and, like, can go undefeated forever. You know what I mean? So
I think of, like, Arkham.
Yeah, Arkham is, it's a tutor general, right? We're basically thinking of decks that don't have to work very hard to win, right? So I guess I'll start. Let's let you guys kind of fill in the gaps here so I'm not still talking. Like, I don't know. What about Ric Flair? What do we think of Ric Flair here? What kind of deck is Ric Flair?
I don't know. Can decks have stacking man breasts?
Well, we can talk about it is prime.
Can a deck blade so much that just blood spews out of his head?
I think
wouldn't that be that red black chick, the one that likes from Ravnica?
Lizolda the Blood Witch.
Yeah, it is. She could bleed until you could actually have a deck that bleeds that much. But you'd have to it'd have to have red so you could do that much damage to yourself.
I mean, Flair may as well have a period because you know he's bleeding 5 days a month.
Also, even in his old like days, that hair was always just the worst shade of puke, bleached crap. Like, in his old age, it looks even worse because his skin is leathery and, let's just face it, disfigured at this point. And not even from the blading, just from the tans. Like, what?
Flair has that, like, Flair has some sort of, like, weirdo cred for being in NWA for so long, though.
Yeah.
Because he didn't go for the cash grab of going into WWF when he might probably have should have.
Well, yeah, but he was making more money off NWA than anyone else, yeah. So he was like riding it out, kind of.
Yeah.
Also, you know, even though he is old and we joke about his fat tits and his terrible skin, like the dude still puts on a decent wrestling match compared to like any of the other old guys that are just trying to keep or just come back from spotlights and stuff because he's always working, you know what I mean? Like, he's always doing the magic.
He needs money.
Right.
So bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's other things that a man his age can be doing to make enough money, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, I mean, it's...
And masturbating in a corner would be one of them.
Or, yeah, there you go. Or just fucking, you know, Hulk Hogan has made money on pretty much doing everything in the wrestling business.
Yeah, it's actually, I listened to wrestling podcasts a lot too, and I think it was when Lagana was still doing his, before he started working for TNA, but he was talking with some guys, and he's like, the only person Hogan probably really trusts in the ring anymore is Flair, because he knows Flair can carry him and isn't going to be a dick about it.
Oh yeah, I mean,
Flair won't hurt him, because Flair knows how not to hurt, like, a man with, like, 80-year-old man's hips.
Yeah. Like, he wobbles to the stage with a cane, and Flair still makes it look like Hulk Hogan just fucking kicked his ass. That's how awesome he is. So, I mean, so, when we get down to it, though, I guess, like, the way that Flair plays a match is kind of like, he's a bad guy, like, always. He's always a heel, right? So he does things like, he has, like, maybe cards that are annoying, but he does it in a way that, like, tells a story and is, what's the word? It's just, like, it's fun to be around. Whereas Goldberg is a good guy. He's, he basically had two moves. He had the spear, which I don't know if it got onto any edits that we've ever talked about on the show. But we've bitched about the spear before in the form of Edge and Christian and all that stuff. So, you know.
That's so dear.
I will say that Goldberg doing the spear is a bit more believable than Edge doing the spear.
Well, I mean, where the fuck do you think it came from, though? You know what I mean? Like, he started it. I mean, I think Rhino was pretty much the only other guy that can legitimately do a spear and be like, okay, fine. and then he also had that jackhammer, which I'll admit is a pretty cool move. Like, you know, it looks like it hurts. Well, that's all you like, saw, right?
It depends on... that one depends a lot on if the slob he's wrestling can stay straight.
Right, that's true, yeah. Because he holds it a little bit, yeah. Like, I bet, like, he does it to, like, Knox or something, one of Hogan's boys, and they're just like... Or, like, the Blue Meanie's just, like, fighting double and stuff.
Did he ever have to do it against, like, Public Enemy?
No, I don't. I
or
don't
the
see
no, wait, no, 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 not public. The Nasty Boys.
Oh, that's what I was saying. No, Knox. Yeah, that's what I was
saying. Knox would never do. He up here looked like a fucking bowl of Jello, wiggling around.
WCW had the worst tag teams. Dude. They had Public Enemy, the Nasty Boys, and they had High Voltage, which was the jobber tag team.
Well, Public Enemy was sweet in ECW. I'll give them that. Like, they were kind of like revolutionary at the time, but they sucked.
I was gonna talk about a wonderful Goldberg squash match, because I had just seen a video of it not too long ago, and it was when he wrestled La Parca.
Oh, well, he did. Jason did mention Luchador, so that's a good.
I don't think of Parca as a Luchador.
Parca, yeah, he is. He's
yeah,
Mexican.
But I mean, he's like a dude with a chair, and he likes to air guitar on the chair.
Yeah, he's awesome, but he's still
really awesome. But so you know, La Parca hits Goldberg with the chair and then starts air guitaring on it. Goldberg, of course, completely no sells the chair and just jackhammers him and wins anyway. Goldberg matches would take longer to set up than they would to play, which is kind of like an EDH game against a Zerg deck that just like crushes you, or you know, against any like or against like Hermit Druid. I think Hermit Druid is a really good Goldberg deck.
Yeah, spear. Living death, I win.
it took you longer to shuffle your decks than it did to play the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and God forbid if you like cracked a fetch land on your first couple turns you have, so then you're shoveling way over time there. well, when it comes to Goldberg matches, the one I remember most is when him and Brock Lesnar faced off, and I think it was Goldberg's last match.
Oh. Yeah, and then that was the worst match, and then Stone Cold was the special guest ref.
Yeah.
And the crowd was just chanting boring.
Yeah.
And doing the goodbye because Goldberg was leaving and Lesnar decided, like, one of them was leaving, but then the other one left too.
Yeah, Lesnar didn't stay around for long, if at all, after that match.
That was like WrestleMania, wasn't it?
Yeah, either that or like a SummerSlam or one of the big pay-per-views. I can't
remember. It had to be a WrestleMania because I remember it sucking horribly and I watched it.
It was a terrible match.
Yeah, like basically it was two, like we were talking about how Goldberg doesn't sell and doesn't like go with the punches and stuff. Yeah, neither does Brock Lesnar really, especially at that time where he was just like, he would take hits and then just like what, flex his shoulder muscles and clothesline you, that was his thing. So like when these guys fought each other, both of them were always like, hey, I hit you. No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. And that went on for, like, 10 minutes, not even joking. Like, two guys that, like, looked at each other like, you're supposed to fall. No, you're supposed to fall. And that was it until it ended. And because Stone Cold was involved, it was okay.
And since they were both leaving, like, neither of them cared either.
Right, exactly.
That's one of those matches I just kind of wish they could have just, like, edited out if it wasn't for the fact they had to promote it so damn hard they were fucking event.
Yeah. I really dislike Lesnar.
Yeah,
I think he's just a turd. He can't talk. He's not a good wrestler. And now he can't be hit because of the diverticulitis.
Yeah.
So he can't really take a bump.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Triple H will probably still make him look like shine up shit and stuff. But, I mean, but Triple H is probably getting beyond his age too. I bet. I don't know that because they didn't have the match yet, right? That's coming up at SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's coming up at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I'm going to end up going to a sports bar to see it.
Yeah.
It's $3. I'll spend it.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Yeah, why not? Cool. All right, okay. Well, fucking Jason actually asked us a real question, which we haven't gotten. We've just been talking about wrestling.
Let's see what Calvin, what do you think of as a wrestler when you're doing a deck?
Well, when I respond, like, tongue-tied.
Oh, man.
Bring us back.
One of those.
Hmm?
Nothing.
Okay, so bring this back to the actual email. When Jason, that's who it is, right? Jason, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Jason, because I just want to make sure I'm not pronouncing the wrong name. When he sent us his email, I did, like, reply to him, and I sent him an email with the response basically from me, Caspi, and even I had John, one of the authors over on the site, well, the author over at the site at the moment. The only person who didn't respond really was Christian, but, you know, we'll get to him in a minute.
That's where the email came from. Calvin asked me.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that I'm reading my response, I remember exactly what happened.
But he asked me how I prefer to, like, you know, wrestling. I pretty much compared him to my wrestling decks. For my EDH decks to be similar to, like, the Ultimate Warrior. A lot of, like, screaming, a lot of yelling, chest pounding, heart-throbbing music, run out to the ring, shake some ropes, and then, you know, just go all balls to the wall and attack as many people as I can. So eventually everybody's laid out. Then I run out of this screaming about how I just kicked some ass and go running off into the sunset ready to take on the next EDH battle. Well, at least that's how I like to think that my decks work, when most of the time they probably work more like Sinfaro. Like, lights get bright and everything like that, and, you know, everything looks like it's going to be awesome, but as soon as I hit that ring, you know something's about to get fucked up. And I'm not talking about, like, in a good way. Most of the time, whenever I actually do try to build decks, like, I try to do what I can to keep them as, like, you know, aggressive as possible, because I like to attack. I like to attack people a lot, and you should know this by now, everybody. And the main reason I do it is because, you know, it helps end games. And this way, the sooner the game ends, the faster we can get to the next game. And since most people I know don't really attack, my method seems to work a lot. So, like, if I was going to pick a wrestler or a wrestling style, it'd have to be someone who would come out, and you kind of know that this is going to be a match where there's going to be a lot of punches thrown, there's going to be a lot of attacks. There's not really going to be many, like, breaks as far as, like, you know, guys laying on a mat where the referee counts to 9 and then, like, pop up. So I kind of think it probably my wrestling style or my, not my wrestling style, my deck building style would be similar to
Steve Blackman.
Steve Austin.
Steve Blackman.
Steve Blackman.
You just wanted to put Blackman in there.
No, I was like, you said a lot of punching. Steve Blackman was a martial artist.
Yeah.
Sort of. You could have said Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, but I can't really see myself being like a submissions kind of wrestler as far as like the deck is concerned. Because when I think of submission decks, I think of the decks that have like the infinite turn lockers.
Yeah.
Like, the decks where, like, it's a submission deck because you literally say, you know what, instead of waiting for the rest of the match to continue, you're just going to fucking quit. Just so you can start the next one. Because that's how I envision, like, a submission deck would be. Like, you're not even really winning the match. You're putting someone in a maneuver where they can't really go anywhere. They can't really do anything. And the match is going to continue until they say, you know what, you win.
Oh, man, who else is picturing Chris Benoit's Crippler Crossface right now? Maybe it's just me. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe more like...
Yes, what I'm thinking.
Maybe more like a Nautilus machine.
Like, you know, you're thinking of Iron Sheet's testicles on the back.
No. It's still Benoit.
Yeah.
it's just a different apparatus.
Yeah. Too soon? Too soon?
Really?
Did you see the article, the thing where Kevin Nash was complaining about wrestling these days?
No, he said
that wrestling WWF died when Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio hugged in the mat in the ring. Why would anybody want to see guys normal sized wrestle? And everyone's just like, Nash, the last time you were the focus of the WWF was in '95, and it was the worst year ever.
Yeah, Diesel was not a good time, guys. Okay.
Did you just see the Cornette interview where he had to teach Kane all the Diesel moves? He's like, so I took a bunch of tapes and I watched them all. And Diesel has 5 moves, and that's including the hair flip.
Yeah, Kane's moveset is a million times better than Nash's moveset. So yeah,
that's because Kane stole his moveset
when they did fake Razor Ramon and fake Diesel. I guess.
Oh yeah.
When he was what's his name?
Isaac Yankum?
Isaac Yankum, yeah. Well, no, Kane, dude, Kane added the flying clothesline pretty early when he started, like, making a name for himself, and I thought the flying clothesline was way cooler than anything the Undertaker was.
I always assumed flying clothesline was because he didn't want to do the walk the rope.
Well, the walk, I'll be honest, the walk the rope is right up there with people's elbow with moves that I think are fucking retarded. So I'm glad that Kane did not do that move because that thing is so dumb.
What was I going to say? Fuck. Diesel. Oh. Do you remember when Nash went over to WCW, they quote-unquote banned power bombs for a while because of his back?
Yeah.
I remember that. Oh, this move is so broken. You can't use it. It's banned.
Too dangerous.
You can't use the power bomb anymore. Really, the power bomb? Out of all the various maneuvers you could possibly put somebody in, picking someone up and then laying them on their back on the mat is the most dangerous thing you could possibly think of.
Well, I mean, WWE banned the pile driver, but that's for fucking good-ass reasons, so, I mean...
Yeah, but the power driver, I could fully understand, right. Because the power, I remember, like, when, what was it, Austin got his neck injured and had to be, like, carried out of the ring because of a fucked-up power driver.
Yeah, and that's pretty much why he's had to retire way before his time, you know what I mean? So
it's like, I can understand why power drivers...
That's guy using pile drivers a lot. All I can think of is Billy Gunn.
The only one I can think of even...
Bully. The Bully Bond.
I don't think they even think to try to do that anymore, even close to it, would be Undertaker.
Bully was more like, I'm just going to grab under your waist and fall backwards, and my immense weight is going to bring you up.
Yeah, I like that. I think that move's cool, though. Like, the kind of lazy half-ass pile driver. I think it's badass. Mm-hmm. So.
I'll go ahead and answer the question.
Okay, sure, yeah, you're
so, fine. The thing that I'm always going for, and you guys can probably almost tell this just from the way I talk about how I play and the cards I pick, the thing I'm going for the most is always cheap heat. Yeah. Which basically means you're an idiot. The crowd is always going to boo you, but it's not like a good booing. It's more like, what the fuck is this guy doing here booing? So, you know, I mean, when some guy is just, like, casting, like, you know, I'll cast El Hajjaj, and then I'll laugh to myself, and everyone else is just like, why are you doing that? I'll set up, like, one of those five red-black enchantment locks where everyone gets beat up whenever they try to cast anything. But it took me 5 cards to get there and probably a billion mana, so it happens once every 100 games. That's more what I'm looking to do. And so, unfortunately, I think that makes me like the X-Pac of EDH.
Are you going to appear on an episode of Surreal Life trying to get back a Joni Lauer or something, or what?
No. Yo, man. At least Waltman hit China when she was sort of looking like a woman, unlike when Triple H did.
Yeah. Well, you know, and also the Bronco Buster, which he made popular, is that move's been copied, like, pretty much right away by fucking Kidman, right? And it's pretty popular still. And,
but the Bronco Buster was...
Yeah, but mostly got transferred over to, like, women wrestling afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, when your maneuver is actually stopped being used by actual wrestlers and start being used by females because everybody likes the idea of someone putting their face in their crop.
But, like, so... There's a bit of a backstory. X-Pac was in, you know, D-Generation X, the super stable, but was obviously the worst guy in it. And this really came back from, and where I really saw him a lot, was back in WCW when he was in the NWO, and his name was Six.
Six-Pac or something like
that. He went back to TNA. He was just Six in WCW.
Yeah.
But, like, whenever the NWO would rush in, you know, to beat people up, they'd be like, here comes the NWO! There goes Six! Because he'd always be the first guy to fly out of the ring. Because they would just throw his ass out in 2 seconds.
Well, he's also, like, 10 times faster than every other guy, because, like we mentioned, WCW hires, like, Goldberg and Kevin Nash and Sid Vicious and Scott Hall. Yeah, right. So he's on a team with Scott Hall, Hulk Hogan, and Kevin Nash, so it's like...
So, yeah, he will get there first.
Yeah, he's, like, the forward scout.
But, like,
Dragon Ball Z reference, he is fucking Krillin. He's the guy who runs in, tries to get the first Mac, and is getting smacked back into the first Mountain View City off in a distance.
Yeah, he's pretty much as useless as Krillin. But that's it, you know, like, I don't add a lot to the game. I'm just there to do stupid shit. I usually get killed first. Actually, no, I don't get killed first because I'm so little of a threat that they'll usually save me for last.
Yep.
I get a lot of second places whenever I play a four-player game. But yeah, I think that's the most fitting match where everyone hate, you know, it's like, boo, everyone hates you, but it's like not good enough to be worthwhile. It's not a good heel. It's a really, really shitty heel.
Like I guess Chris Masters or something?
Yeah, the closest to be to things like that anymore would probably be like Vicky Guerrero.
I think Dolph Ziggler is pretty like generic and heelish, right? I mean,
yeah, but I like him though. He's a decent dude.
Oh.
His character's crap, but he's a decent dude.
Oh, is he? Because I just like every time I see him on the TV screen, I just am like, God, this is why I hate WWE. I just can't stand this fucker.
Like, he's good on like the Colt episode he's on is pretty good.
Oh, he was on Colt. That's cool. I'll have to check that one.
Well, him and Colt both like comedy a lot, so they just talk about that
each other. Yeah, I'm so far behind on this shit. Like, I'm like intimidated to go back in because it's like been a year almost. So.
And he was a college wrestler, so I always appreciate that.
Yeah, fair enough. But that picture,
though, can sell shit up and maneuver now.
Yeah, I don't know what's
like, he gets a clothesline. He shows you he got fucking clothesline. Yeah. Boy, he will fall, flip, flare it up. Boy.
Yeah,
he does sell a lot, and that's actually I want to my second. Almost reference to wrestling is the one I more aspire to be like is El Generico.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you that don't know, is the Canadian man masquerading as a luchador.
So you can't even see his red-ass beard coming through the mask.
You can see his red-ass beard underneath his mask. And what's great about him is that, he gets the crap beat out of him, but he's so good at selling it that it's the best thing on earth.
And he's got some ass kicking potential as well. Like I've seen a lot of matches where he beats the shit out of dudes, especially in Ring of Honor, where the high impact moves and everyone's expected to be like really showy and explosive.
Yeah. It's all strong style now.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see that Kevin Steen got in trouble for making out with a fan, then beating him up?
Yeah, but that's awesome because Kevin Steen.
What's
is so
that awesome. About?
Dude, just you said it, cheap heat, right? There's nothing cheaper than like. Mixing a fucking weird-ass violent thing with, like, weird issues and shit. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
But I think we've talked. Let's, Cassidy.
Okay.
I got some good things to say about this.
Actually, Kevin Steen's kind of a good example because he's a big fat guy that wrestles in Ring of Honor a lot. And other places, too. But Ring of Honor is what I like to watch mostly, old Ring of Honor matches. And he's pretty intense. He does, like, flipping shit and, like... But he's paunchy. Like, no line. This guy's big, and he has this gimmick where he's kind of crazy. But my thing is like it's kind of a like I like to build my decks, especially lately because I've been playing 30 life and playing a lot of one up matches. I like to think of it kind of almost like the strong style of Ring of Honor, or for those of people who watch WWE and don't know much about Ring of Honor, CM Punk, you know, CM Punk and like Daniel Bryan, which is still Bryan Danielson to me. Like, it's their kind of style, you know, based off of Japanese wrestling, but it's really intense. I haven't been in a while, because I've been waiting until Milo gets old enough, and then I'm going to take him to see some wrestling shows, but I went to every ROH show for a whole year, so...
You got to take him to CZW.
Nah, well, CZW doesn't come out to Illinois, dude.
Nah, they don't go to... I was just, you know, making a bad CZW joke.
Yeah.
As if children should never be anywhere near CZW. No,
they shouldn't. So, like, for me, it's like, with my ninja deck, it's like a really low curve. It's meant to, like, keep a pace going, be interesting, but not like, you win through killing mostly with 30 life. It's not combos, you know what I mean? So, to me, it's like a really balanced match that keeps people going back and forth. You're never really sure who's gonna win because it's, someone's only away from, like, a face kick, from getting a pin, and there's a lot of close situations and stuff. So, like, it's like they put more emphasis on making a match good than making it like really showy sometimes too, and like so that's one of the things I wanted to say. But the other thing is when it comes down to it, because Kevin Steen's kind of a goofball, but really when it comes down to it, I would say I like to build like Mick Foley, and I'm using Mick Foley in all his forms, including Cactus Jack. And I don't know if I really have to introduce Mick Foley to people, because if you don't, I mean, if you don't know
if you don't know Mick Foley, you have no reason to actually pay attention to the wrestling conversation.
Yeah, you probably already skipped this episode or just deleted it off your iPod at this point if you don't know. So, but anyways, Mick Foley was one of those guys that was really versatile. You know, he was the champion amongst dudes like Triple H and Austin and The Rock and stuff. Like, he was champion when that was going on. The Rock and Sock Connection is still one of the most entertaining tag teams, and I hate The Rock. You know, that's just how awesome Mick Foley is. And he was so awesome that he had a sock character as like a manager type gimmick, and like, as dumb as it is, like, it's one of the greatest things of all time, still to this day. You know, I don't read very often, but I will recommend definitely any of Mick Foley's books because he's a really good writer, in addition, and I think he's a cool dude. I like that Mick Dexter are pretty versatile, that can do other things. So, like, Mick Foley, you know, he's funny, he's serious. I don't think he made it into the last episode, but he did this one awesome interview of himself. He interviewed Cactus Jack as Mick Foley, and the camera just kept going back and forth. And I don't know if you guys watched it. I think I sent you the link, but holy shit.
I never saw the link for that.
Huh?
I didn't see the link for that one.
Oh, yeah. I think it's even still in this, probably in this, excuse me, the Skype from last week. I don't know. Can you check that?
Let's see if I can open this up now. Let's see if I can find it.
Okay.
Can I find it? Where did it show?
August 7th. Okay. Well, anyways, I'm pretty sure I'm almost. Word of Commander, almost there. There we go. Yep, right there. I'll even just like copy and paste. Then that could be in the show notes because it is awesome. I mean, so Mick Foley is kind of how I like to be. Is like someone that can like, your deck can like, whoops, here we go. Your deck can like can be competitive. It can be like the champion amongst people. You know, or amongst like strong other decks, but at the same time, like it's not overbearing. I try to make it likable. I try to make it fun and versatile. But also, like, I mean, Mick Foley is one of the. He takes a lot of blows. He's one of the most hardcore motherfuckers out there. I mean, his old matches are really, really violent. He lost an ear. Like, he got ripped off in a match in Germany against Vader, and so like. That's the kind of dude he is. He's missing a goddamn ear from wrestling, you know what I mean? So he's dedicated.
Have you ever seen him open his mouth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we didn't even bring up the Undertaker-Mick Foley match. Like, that's probably the greatest wrestling match of all time, right? I mean...
Well, any of them. Do you remember the Grave match?
Was it that Foley?
Yeah, that was Undertaker-Foley, too.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Where they had to bury each other.
Yeah. Well, they kept redoing that gimmick, but it got stupider every year as they made it more, like, commercialized and less.
Well, the casket matches were always dumb.
Yeah.
But when they had the pile of dirt and fans were throwing shit in it. And then, like, I think they both ended up taking a bump over the edge at some point.
Yeah.
That must have sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good match, man. The other thing I wanted to mention, just because none of us are really that kind of player, but I think that, the Big Show are like his counters, or I mean, combo decks. You know what I mean? Like, either that, or you could consider like fast paced, like counter back and forth action. Like, that's combo-y kind of, because that's like what we call it in wrestling. But to me, like, the Big Show is just like this guy who like doesn't do much until like you're worn out enough where he can just punch you once and you're dead. You know what I mean?
What happened to, why did he start doing that instead of the choke slam? When did this happen?
I don't know. Maybe his legs aren't in good health. He's always kind of had like little spindly legs for a giant guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Apparently, he had been taking like boxing lessons or something like that, and started like doing this like weapons of mass destruction thing with his hands. I'm not sure why he chose that over the choke slam. I'm just going to assume it's probably because at that point everybody that was big was choke slamming.
And
I think if it's going to be a Big Show deck, though, it's got to be the combo guy that can kill you out of nowhere, but also then complains about everything that happens to them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's most
of the notice the Big Show
players.
Cries. The Big Show's just been crying, like, every week.
And then, so I like what you said, Calvin, about the, ooh, did I cut out?
No.
Oh, okay. No, it must have been Calvin mutant. I like what Kellen said about the control player being like a submission expert, because that kind of when I was thinking of my ninja deck as being like kind of Ring of Honor style or strong style, like big part of that is like really sick ass submissions, you know, and it just made me laugh because that's part of it. But like at the same time, see, we're talking about a submission match. That's fine, but at the same time, you don't want to be locked up in the submission the whole game. You know, you can't have a whole match where one person's just like, you know, Angle's just got the ankle lock on him for like 2 hours. You know, that wouldn't happen. So like, that's kind of a good way of reflecting on when it comes to control decks and what we would prefer. You know, if you are going to make a control deck, make it so like at least like the submission is awesome and only at the end so you win. You know what I mean? By the way, did you guys see the Jeff Hardy Angle match? Like when it was before Jeff Hardy was like obviously on drugs all the time in TNA, but it was like right around that time. Like Angle gives him like an ankle lock for like probably like a good 2 minutes, and he doesn't sell it at all. And then, but Hardy gets
the file out of his pocket and starts doing his nails mid match.
It was almost like that. Like, he was just like, are you done with this hold yet? And Angle's like, fucker, you know, sell it. But then Jeff Hardy gives Angle, like, 4 swanton bombs over the course of the match, and he doesn't beat him. And I think it ends in a draw or something, but, like, if you want to see an instance of when, like, wrestling has never looked so fake, is when you have a big fucker like Kurt Angle ripping away at this little Jeff Hardy's leg, and Jeff Hardy's like, oh, my nails are a little off. I got to repaint this one. You know, like, I got to see if I can find that one, because that was, it was just so shameful. Like, the ankle lock wasn't affecting him at all, and it was going on forever. And the match, like, that was the gimmick of the match, is that, like, they wouldn't tap out. So it was like, oh, well, both of you are facing Rob Van Dam, derp or derp. You know what I mean? But it's like,
Rob Van Dam and his confusing hairline.
Yeah. Well, Rob Van Dam, of course, is the actual wrestler that I play with, not necessarily play as, you know, not necessarily the one as that I build as, but you know, RVD is my homie. I got an RVD T-shirt in my closet.
Yeah, I like ECW was so great because the ring was so small.
Yeah.
So the Van Terminator looked awesome.
Let's see if I can find this. Oops. Oh, wait, does TNA doesn't get bitchy about,
it depends.
Damn. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find that clip, because that was really, God, it's just, like, so no-sell, it was ridiculous. Oh, and by the way, does anyone else get bugged by Randy Orton when he started using that fucking Olympic slam? Like, did that offend anyone else?
I just don't watch Randy Orton. So.
Oh, yeah. Does he still do that finisher? I
haven't. But
he's been hurt, so.
Oh, right.
Well, then he got wellness, so he hasn't been around.
The things that started getting annoying to me was on kick to the face as, like, what was it? His, like, bad finishing move at the time when he's supposed to be like going crazy.
Oh yeah.
When the wrestlers would be down on all fours and give him time to back up like all the way to the other side of the fucking ring and then come at him and kick him in the face.
Didn't they call it like the punt, right? And they built it into like the McMahon storyline at the time, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the way Randy Orton punched things. And next thing you know, it's like that's supposed to have been like the ultimate like finisher and stuff like that. I mean, granted, the one time when he actually used it on Vince McMahon and actually connected was fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that.
Because you could actually see him kick Vince McMahon's face halfway out the ring. But the other times when he's used it on like other wrestlers or whatever, it's like, ugh.
Like, I think like anytime you win with Insurrection, you're like most big face wrestlers where, like, you know, DDP gets beat up for 25 minutes, hits a diamond cutter, and wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
DDP did have some pretty cool float over moves, though, so I'll give DDP some credit. He was pretty innovative for his time for an old man that just started, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hidden, well, would you credit?
I mean, Austin was almost the same way sometimes, where surprise stunner out of nowhere wins match.
Yeah, well, Austin was a big motherfucker. Like, you don't realize it sometimes, but that guy is fucking huge, and not so much
his wife knows it.
Yeah.
Wait, did he beat up his wife or some other lady?
Did he hit someone?
Yeah, he's beating up the women's.
Oh, it was that Deborah woman, right?
Yeah, Deborah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is Austin going to have to smack a bitch?
Yeah.
He smacked her up.
You consider Insurrection to be, since you don't want to be like the Diamond Cutter, would you consider it to be more like a...
It's like a...
Big snake?
It's like, it's like the Attitude Adjustment.
Dude, how about the People's Elbow?
It's definitely like the People's Elbow.
Or like the Worm, even, where it's just like you're waiting for it to be over. It takes forever to happen, and then when it's over, you're like, God, I wish that I had nothing to do with this shit. So, yeah. But, you know, actually, when it comes to the email that we to get back on topic, the email that we sent back to Jason originally, I mentioned that I play like Santino because I'm a joke. I chose Santino because I just assume that most people haven't heard of Colt Cabana, but I would have chosen him instead because Colt Cabana is the shit. But that is part of it too, where like the thing about Santino is that, you know, he's like actually probably a good wrestler, and I don't know how he feels about being the dumbass on the show all the time, but he definitely does fill a role of funniness and kind of like entertainment over, you know, at his own expense. And I appreciate that kind of humor because that's the kind of humor that I'm good at, the self-deprecation. So I just wanted to add that Santino's the guy I actually told Jason.
Yeah. But you got to admit, though, for Santino, I don't think Santino would ever really have a reason to actually complain about him because, one, he does get the promotions from, like, you know, the money from, like, having his face on shirts and that stupid snake sock puppet thing that he kind of stole from Foley.
Oh, he has a sock puppet now?
No, he has like, it's this maneuver called the Cobra, where he basically like pokes his hand up, like it's gonna like, you know. You ever saw the Three Stooges when they poke somebody in the eye?
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like he has the theatrics where he turns it and shit, and then he just stabs you. Yeah, I gotcha, sure.
Yeah, so like, you know, he makes money. His kids buy the sock puppet thing. Yeah. He makes money from his shirts. He gets to appear every week on Raw, even if he doesn't have a title, because he can always play the goofy background role of searching for general managers or just pissing off big guys. He's always going to have a match. So it's like, you know, even though he's kind of, and he gets the chance to play seriously, because every once in a while, like, he can actually have a match with like, the big name guys, like Cody Rhodes or maybe even, like,
Cody Rhodes isn't a big name
guy. No, he's still on the team,
Talk about the pure name guys. I mean, it's not like he's like fighting like nobody, like complete nobody.
Yeah, he's not jobbing.
He's not getting a Ryback role, but he's going against people that you actually know, as opposed to just like random people that show up.
Speaking of jobbing, I thought of other wrestlers that I play like.
Okay.
Like Greg the Hammer Valentine.
That's
has that fucker ever won a match?
Pretty sure there's got to be at least one.
Probably.
I mean, even Glassjaw Joe won one.
I mean, I'll admit, by the time I was seeing Greg Valentine wrestle, it was always on WCW.
Yeah.
So by then, his heyday was gone, and he was just this fat blonde dude that was getting the crap beat out of him all the time.
Yeah. I didn't watch too much old wrestling. I didn't. My mom was like a hippie, you know, so she got really
she
was
didn't name you Cassidy.
Yeah, well, she was kind of upset with me. I got really into G.I. Joe, and she wasn't happy with that. But then when I tried to start watching wrestling, she, like, shut it down, you know? So, and actually, it's kind of funny. Probably one of the reasons I like wrestling so much now is just because she hates it still.
Yeah.
Nah, it's like a small consideration, but it's kind of like putting whipped cream on a really good cake, you know what I mean?
I guess for a more modern reference, I kind of play like Heath Slater. I don't know if you've seen that poor guy lately, but he gets beat by everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not surprising. I mean, I'm sure Christian is like super, what's the word, where he's like afraid that he's going to take over his position. threatened by him, you know? Like, oh no, it's me 20 years ago, pointless and bland.
As far as joke dudes go, though, I think Claudio could probably almost fit that role, too.
Claudio Castagnoli, really?
Yeah, he was sweet.
Yeah, he was funny, but I mean, he was more like he was always a bad guy for the most part, right? So he was like funny and
he
like
wasn't a beast stroke guy.
No, no.
Maybe more like Doink the Clown.
Remember him in the video game? He had like the taser for some reason.
Yeah, that video game was one of the best wrestling games ever made.
Oh, that's the moment they had like the super moves that involved like actual like street fighter like abilities with like hammers and shit.
Yeah. Undertaker threw ghosts at people.
Yeah, I remember that.
His bone's arm turned into a razor.
Yeah, I remember
that. Was WrestleMania. That was right. Super WrestleMania.
Hard.
Oh, God, that game was so good. Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, we've kind of spiraled around the drain here. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that we could really say about this, because we mostly just talked about wrestling for a while, which is fine, because we've done this a lot and cut it out. Lately, I've just been leaving stuff in, but also we've been talking extraneously less lately. So this is kind of nice to have something that where we rant about wrestling and lose our place completely, but it'll go on to the final part as a segment. So you guys just get to enjoy how fucking much we rant about wrestling whenever we get around to it.
Just imagine this segment in every episode, and you kind of have an idea of how All Color Cast is recorded.
Yeah.
This segment just kind of missing.
Well, not lately as much, but originally. Like,
not lately, but like originally when we first started recording. Like this is only 25 episodes. Like, it's not that fucking far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, we're finishing it there.
Bam, yeah.
Done. I feel like there could almost be a Jericho deck somehow.
Oh, man, Jericho.
Like,
I meant to mention Jericho and CM Punk, both of them. But,
yeah.
I mean, they're kind of the same character when we're talking about right now, right? kind of control-y. Kind of like holier than thou. Maybe a blue-white deck?
Like, I feel like Jericho would be like someone, like when someone busts out their really good deck, but for some reason nobody kills him. Because he's just too awesome.
Yeah, he's just like a likable guy, and like every time you want to attack him, he's just like, but I'm cool.
And we're like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, what have you done for us lately? But I'm cool.
Man of 1,001 holds.
Yeah.
That was the greatest thing
ever. No, the greatest thing ever was when he had the hockey stick match against Ken Shamrock, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then he wore like hockey pads and like had a shark cage or something.
I don't remember what I wanted to mention.
I'm a Y2J.
There he is. You remember the who was that? Rick Moreno? Somebody. There used to be a wrestler that had that little bug spray can that had arrogance written across it. Use it as cologne.
Mark Marrow, was it? No?
Johnny B. Bad.
I'm looking this up right now.
Rick. I can't think of the name.
Did you see that WWF hired Flair's daughter?
No.
The only WWF hired Flair or something?
Is she a wrestler?
I'm just always going to call him WWF. I think she might be consulting or something. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
But it's just funny that Flair doesn't I don't think Flair has a job right now because he stopped showing up for TNA shit.
Yeah, they dick him around for a lot of money. But, I haven't been watching much wrestling. Too bad, I should be watching more, but that's kind of interesting.
Well, you can always read the Botched Spot comic to catch up if you don't really want to watch it, which is what I do sometimes.
I keep meaning to go to Botchamania, but I've been addicted to the show called Gang Grumps on YouTube lately, so I've just been watching that every day.
This one's actually not the funniest, but... It's funny in a dumb way.
Rick Martel, there we go.
Is
that like Glacier?
Watch Spot, what's this?
It's a wrestling comic.
Oh. Yeah.
That one's not a very good one, but you get the idea.
Jesus. Nice. Testify. I like that at the bottom. Oh, man. I stopped watching TNA right around the time when they had Bubba Ray turn on D-Von.
Yeah, that was sad. Why are you going to do that?
Yeah, it was so dumb. Like, Team 3D was, like, you should have just let him leave. Like, they planned they were going to do. Like, so obvious, you know. Calvin's getting yelled at. Holy shit. Maybe he promised 40 minutes again. That's fine. We can go to the end. Get done here. Yeah.
I think you know that accident, why couldn't kids aren't, because you know this is actually the first time that I've gotten a chance to report recently where the baby's been with somebody else the entire time. And there you go.
Rick Martel. This is obviously a sweet dude.
Yeah. Oh my god.
For some reason, whenever I watch like this commercial, I think of Chris.
I understand that. I mean, when I saw him, I'm like, this is the sweetest dude ever.
Why does he have a bug sprayer for, right? That's like for spraying pesticide?
I can't believe you don't remember him. They're like, what was it? Like, he's got like 70 of these commercials. And like, he sprays them and like women show up for some fucking reason in one of his commercials.
No, the bug sprayer gets the chicks. Alright, let's finish this up.
Deal.
Okay, everybody, you survived episode 25 of Off Color. It's a very small caliber, so I can understand why you would. But if you want to, I'm Chris. If you want to hit me up, check me out at Christian Renault on Twitter, or email the show, offcolorcast@gmail.com. Me and Calvin check it. We get back to you at some point. Calvin also likes to reply to spam, so we got that going on for us.
Yeah.
Cassidy.
Spam shows up, and I want to know where the fuck it came from.
Say goodbye for us there.
That Dorothy Lee's actually emailed us twice, but Calvin did not reply to the second one, surprisingly.
did he open the attachment?
Yeah, just in case. No. It was some hot chick sending us something, I guess, right?
No, I don't open the attachment. I just want to know what the fuck is this. What the fuck is this? The second one came in my mind, I've responded to it already because it was the same person.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was for the other account.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, thanks for tuning in. For any people that don't care about wrestling, pro wrestling at all, and you're still listening, I really apologize, but I mean, this is just what you have here. We are three very nerdy dudes, I must say. Just talk about magic and wrestling, guys. Yeah. Check out the articles on TCG Player, usually on Thursdays. I'm pretty sure it's going to get up on time this week, even though Gen Con's going down. Also,
I guess it's right in your backyard, isn't it?
No, I'm not going.
That's right, you're having a child.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's just like Frank LaFour is like, send me an article a day earlier because I'm going to get Gen Con. I'm like, I want to be a Gen Con. Anyways, the other thing I want to mention, too, is that I got a buddy from Facebook and Twitter, Alex. He has a stream called Beardy Plays, B-E-A-R-D-I. Yes. And
you really check this dude out.
Yeah, he plays EDH on Modo, and he does other things too, but he has a Twitch account, I guess. And I'm pretty sure Twitch is kind of like YouTube, sort of, right?
Twitch is like a subsidiary of a different website, but Twitch is just for streaming video games.
Oh, okay. So it's twitch.tv/beardyplays, again, B-E-A-R-D-Y. Yeah, he wanted to do some collaboration. He wants to. He's going to put up some sort of banner for Off Color on his page, as long as we tout his stuff every once in a while. He's been a Facebook friend for a while, I assume because of my articles, because it was before we were doing this stuff. So he's cool. You know, people, check it out if you're down with that. I mean, what else do you have to do except for watch people play EDH on Modo? The answer is nothing, except for catching up on all the other 24 episodes of our awesome show. And by that, I mean, you can skip a few of them. I'm in all of them, though, so you actually can't.
Where is that?
I mean, you can't even skip one with Calvin. Yeah. I'm the
only
one. I'm going to
say, what, two?
No. We only did one, and then after that, we didn't even record, right?
Yeah. The one I wasn't in because of the child rearing, and the child rearing, I said rearing. and the other one we didn't do had didn't have Chris.
Well, yeah,
that's right. That's,
we did
probably our best episode.
Scotty Mac though with Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think, even though I'm gone next week, you guys are probably not going to record anything, right? Because, I mean,
it'd be a sweet week off.
Cool. All right, well, Dad, so we're not going to have anything next week for you people. I don't think it'll be too big of a deal, though, to record the week after. I mean, Calvin did it, so, I mean, why not? We might have baby Lily in the same room just like Aaliyah, so you might be double the amount of heinous screams that I only halfway feel like cutting out sometimes. So, I mean, I cut out some.
What ends up happening is then our show then has more women on it than all other podcasts on the network.
Yeah.
At least, like, my girl, your girl, my wife, it's at least, like, what, 50% of the people that show up on your show are going to be female at that point.
Yeah. That's right. That makes us cool, so, right, guys?
Yeah, we got more vagina than you.
Yeah, we got vagina. Oh shit. Okay, did Calvin say bye yet? Because I feel like that would be a good
segment. Say goodbye, Calvin.
Okay, fine, I'll say goodbye. This is Calvin, also known as Captain Redzone, and if you're looking for me, you can find me at Captain Redzone on Twitter, CaptainRedzone@gmail.com, off color tabs .com. You can go over there, comment. More likely, I'll respond to just about every comment that comes up. Every email that comes in, offcolorcast@gmail.com, I'll respond to that too. There's the Facebook page, Off Color Cast. There's also the Google Plus that nobody ever goes to. I don't even know what the fuck that account. In fact, I might just delete it if it wasn't for the fact I kind of want to hold on to the name. Let's see, any other places that you can catch us at? That's about it as far as I can think of at the moment. But if there's anything else you can think about, the chances are, like, you can find us somewhere, somehow. Just please, don't comment to us on, like, mtgcast.com because I don't read those comments. I don't respond to those comments. And as far as I know, there's like 25 episodes.
I check them like once a month.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it becomes like the, like, I try to respond to every reaction that we get, but then, like, someone will post something there, and I look back and I'm like, oh, shit, someone actually said something over here. And it's been like 3 weeks since I've said anything to them about it. Oh, I fucking ended up just going about my day. I think that's about it.
Yeah, that's it. Sounds good.
All right. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night, folks. And fried chicken to all.